Good morning. Welcome to St. Mark's Lutheran Church Online. Glad that you joined us this morning. Today is VBS Sunday. VBS Sunday. This past week we had a virtual VBS online, and the whole theme of the week was Jesus leads the way. We are on a journey with Christ, and so we follow him, and that's what we'll look at today, how God guides us, protects us, heals us, promises all of these things for us on our path with him. Jesus leads the way. The service you can find in our bulletins, which you can find on two different pages on our website, both the Staying Connected to God's Word page as well as the Worship Service Live page. There you can find a copy of that. And you'll see that our opening hymn is Children of the Heavenly Father, what God does for us as his children. May God bless your worship today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us, and he's given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for planting in us the seed of your word. By your Holy Spirit, help us to receive it with joy and to bring forth fruits in faith and hope and love. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Our first lesson this morning comes from what we looked at on day one of VBS, and that is, as we are on this journey, as we are following Christ, one thing that's very important for us are the promises of God. And a great example of that, of how God fulfills his promises, is from Noah and the flood. God says, "I am going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens. Every creature that has the breath of life in it, everything on earth will perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Two of every kind of bird, of every kind of animal, and of every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and for them." Noah did everything just as God commanded him. But God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and all the livestock that were with him in the ark, and he sent a wind over the earth, and the waters receded. Then God said to Noah, "Come out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons and their wives. Bring out every kind of living creature that is with you, the birds, the animals, and all the creatures that move along the ground, so they can multiply on the earth and be fruitful and increase in number on it." So Noah came out, together with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives. All the animals and all the creatures that move along the ground and all the birds, everything that moves on land, came out of the ark, one kind after another. The word of the Lord. We sing in response a song that helps us in the difficult times on this path. Precious Lord, take my hand. The second lesson for today comes from day four of VBS, where we looked at, you know, how we're going to have bumps and bruises on our path here in life, but we know that Jesus brings healing, and we see his power and his care here in this account. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." The word of the Lord. The gospel for today comes from day 3 of VBS, from Matthew chapter 4. This will also serve as the sermon text for today. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw 2 brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw 2 other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. We now confess our faith in Christ and what he's done for us according to the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The 3rd day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our hymn of the day, "Savior, I Follow On," printed for you there.
Grace, peace, and mercy to you from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our leader. Amen. Sermon text for today comes from the gospel lesson in Matthew chapter 4. Let's begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Amen. The path is perilous. Got threats coming from one side and another side. Got difficulties and obstacles. A lot of times that seem insurmountable. You think to yourself, you know, if I just slip even just a little bit, then I might fall and not get up. Wonder to yourself, what am I going to do? Am I really going to make it to the end of this long, difficult journey? I'm, of course, talking about walking through your child's bedroom when it isn't cleaned up. Oh boy, that path is perilous. You got toys on your right, toys on your left, books pulled off the bookshelf with no regard for organization. You got clothes strewn about, every inch of the floor is taken up by something. You know, one misstep and you could fall and be in a world of pain, especially if you step on a Lego. Good night. Yes, walking through your child's room when it isn't cleaned up. Whew. Difficult journey. Why would you think I was talking about? Oh, I suppose I could also describe life, too. Especially life as a Christian. No, definitely far more perilous. Life as a Christian. A lot of those descriptions stand. Very difficult. Lots of different things that we have to face. And yet, there's one truth above all that we can take to heart on this journey with Christ. It was the theme of our whole VBS this week. It is, Jesus leads the way. And we'll see here in what is the Bible story from day 3 of VBS, that fact. We'll see that come through. Here, Jesus calls his disciples in Matthew chapter 4. The very heart of this whole account is Jesus' statement, I will send you out to fish for people. Literally, it's, I will make you fishers of men, of people. That's the heart of the account. But first, what I'd like to look at is what precedes it, and then also what follows that statement. So listen first to what precedes it. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said. So our Savior was out walking beside the Sea of Galilee, but this wasn't just some random stroll along the lake. And these men weren't just a couple of random guys that he just happens to see. Now, he knew these men well. This was a very purposeful stroll from our Savior. These men had already been with Jesus for a long time. Andrew was a disciple of John the Baptist, and he was there when John pointed at Jesus and said, look, the Lamb of God. Andrew introduced his brother Simon to Jesus, who immediately said, you will be called Cephas, or Peter. They had been with Jesus when he turned water into wine. They had been with him in his early Judean ministry with healings, and they even baptized others with him. So no, Jesus knew these men well. This was a very purposeful stroll along the lake. He wanted to personally call these men into now full-time service. He had a very important task for them to do, and we'll talk more about that later. But the next thing he says to them is, I will make you fishers of men. And now listen, though, to what happens after that. At once they left their nets and followed him. Then we have the same thing happen with another pair of fishermen brothers. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, presumably with the same exact statement, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Notice how these men respond to what Jesus says. Matthew emphasizes it. Immediately, at once, they left everything. Andrew and Peter left their nets. James and John left their boats and their father. But don't worry, Zebedee would be fine. He had lots of other workers, and they obviously had their father's blessing. But these men knew exactly what this call was now meaning for them. They knew that this call into discipleship meant, all right, leaving the old way of life, the old vocation, and now we're going to follow Christ 100%, follow him all the time. So here, as we look at this statement, look first now at the fact that it was very personal, but then also look at how it was powerful. Jesus knew these men. It was a purposeful calling. At the same time, what Jesus said compelled the men to follow. That was the power that he called them with. Now, as we look at that, we realize that that's very similar to the calling that we have had when it comes to our faith. Jesus was very purposeful when he called you. He knew you personally. This wasn't just some, yeah, you, I guess. Why don't you follow me? Sure, why don't you? No. He knew you personally, and he called you personally. Come, Bill, and follow me. Come, Pam, and follow me. Come, Jim, and follow me. Says that for each of us. And the Holy Spirit himself took up residence in our heart, and we became not an acquaintance of God, but a child of God. You were chosen. You. But it wasn't just personal, it was also powerful. That's Jesus' calling. You and I didn't sit there and think to ourselves, oh, should I believe, shouldn't I? It's nothing that we decided. No, it was by the power of the gospel that came to us. Jesus resurrected our hearts, and there we are now, compelled to trust and follow him. That's how it happened. So we can see the power of Jesus' word and also how personal and purposeful it is, because we've been given a task too. More on that in a little bit. But do you ever look at this account and or something like it and just kind of feel like the disciples here shame us a little bit? What did it take for them to give up everything immediately and follow Jesus? Because that's what's emphasized. Immediately, at once. It was simply, come and follow me, I will make you fishers of men. Bam! All right. Give up the old way of life, now we're following. Let's do this, Jesus. And you and I maybe had that in the beginning when we first started, or when we were children. We had that type of fervor. Maybe you don't even remember it. But now it's a lot of times like our fervor wanes a little bit. We can be gung-ho one minute, and then the next minute be like, maybe later. We can have so many ups and downs as we follow Christ. He comes to us and he says, come, follow me, read and study my word, say no to sin, witness to others about me. Love as I have loved you. Stand firm in the face of persecution, and so on. And yet you and I can get a little lazy in that. We can maybe even lose focus on our purpose of why we're here in this life. We can maybe even start to go back to those old nets and boats. That old way of thinking, that sin that has its number, has our number, that indulgence, that desire, that relationship, that focus on earthly things, the fear, the doubt, all of those things that define our old way of life. So often we can go back to those things and forget our calling. Why do we let that happen? Instead of reading an account like this and hearing immediately at once and being, yeah, that's right, we can instead be filled with shame. Why? It's because we can often lose sight of the one that we're following. We let ourselves forget about who He is, what He can do, what He has promised, what He's given us to do, and really His heart that drives the whole thing. All in all, we forget that Jesus leads the way. That fact, that Jesus leads the way, is seen a lot in that statement, "I will make you fishers of men." There's a lot that's packed into that statement. So let's break it down. Jesus says, "I will make you fishers of men." I. Not, "You'll go make yourselves fishers of men," or "You can go try to go figure it out," or "No, you know, talk to my secretary," or "I'll delegate this to somebody else." No, Jesus says, "I will make you fishers of men." He takes a very hands-on approach with His followers. And we see that 3 years with His disciples. We see that even after He rose from the dead with His post-resurrection appearances. Even as before He ascends into heaven, He says, "Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Jesus is like that fly that is always sticking around, but in a good way. He's always there, and He personally is invested in each one of us. And it's true for you and I. We have those same promises. There He is when He speaks through His word. He's there speaking to you. He says, "Two or three gather together in my name," even online, "there I am with them." He is the one who led the way into your heart to begin with. He's personally invested in you. And when you think about who the I is, the Son of God, God incarnate, the one who's been given all power and all authority, who'll judge the living and the dead, and He's personally invested in you, well, that gives us some comfort. It also gives us confidence in what He says next. "I will make you fishers of men." That is a future definite statement. It will happen. That, in other words, is a promise. Now, we know how God feels about promises. We just talked about it with Noah. God always fulfills His promises. And the same is true for the disciples and for you and me. "I will make you fishers of men," He said to them. It's not, "You know, there's a chance that you could become this," or, "You know, we'll give it a shot. Who knows what's going to happen?" No, "I will make you fishers of men," He told them. And this gives us comfort because you and I know that this path is perilous. We have lots of things after us. We've got our own sinful tendencies and weaknesses. We have our doubts and fears. We've got different obstacles and enemies from without, from within. Sometimes we can wonder if we're going to make it to the end of this journey. The last day, or till the day we die, are we going to make it to heaven? And yet here Jesus says, "I will make you fishers of men." We know that we have Him not only hands-on, but we also have the promise of the Son of God Himself. And did it happen with the disciples? Absolutely it did. You're proof. And think about that fact for a second. Who these disciples were. That's the next word. "I will make you fishers of men." That's what He told them. And who is He talking to? Fishermen. Fishermen back then were poorly educated. They weren't influential, especially in Galilee. It's not like it was a province that was highly regarded. And we know that these four men in particular had their sinful tendencies. These four men, let's see, Peter had a temper. He even rebuked Jesus. And he denied Jesus 3 times when Jesus needed him the most, and even after Jesus told him it would happen. Andrew, we know at the very least, doubted Jesus at the feeding of the 5,000. James and John were known as the sons of thunder, and they showed that one time when they wanted to call down fire from heaven in revenge on a Samaritan village. Collectively, they had doubted Jesus when a storm rose on the lake. They all abandoned Him the night He was arrested. Numerous times Jesus had to rebuke them for a lack of understanding and a lack of faith. And these are the men, this is the crew that Jesus chose to be fishers of men. And did he do it? Yes, he did. These are the men that Jesus chose to be the foundation of the church, the apostles, along with the prophets themselves. And Jesus fulfilled it. So whatever deficiencies you think you have, whatever sinful struggles and tendencies that you have, whatever obstacles or enemies you think are out there, they're no match for the Son of God. Jesus will take care of them, and he will lead the way to heaven. Now that is very obviously a part of his grace. And that grace comes out all the more when you take a look at the last part of that statement. I will make you fishers of men. Now, why in the world would Jesus want to do that? People are what caused this mess in the first place. People are corrupt and have a sinful nature. People were supposed to be the crown of God's creation, lovingly reigning over all of creation to take care of it, and yet people do so instead selfishly. God does all of these things for them, provides all of these things for them, and still they rebel against him. They view him as their enemy. And Jesus says, I want them. Go catch them. What does this reveal other than his grace and his love for us? Think about the path that was ahead to make that happen. The Father said to Jesus, all right, Jesus, I want you to take up human flesh. I want you to leave this throne in heaven, walk that guilty sod. I want you to take all of the sin and guilt from every time they've rebelled against me, doubted me, been lazy toward me, chosen not to follow me, rejected me, and even my followers when they lost their way. I want you to take all of that sin and put it on yourself and suffer hell. That was Jesus' journey. And Jesus says, okay. Let's do it. Let's go save them and catch them. And now in his grace, he invites us to come into that mission and says, help me, go catch them. Why would Jesus ever do that? What else could it be than that God so loved the world? And that's because Jesus leads the way in everything. I will make you fishers of men. It's a statement that shows his purpose, his personal touch, his power, and his heart for you and me. So when you're on this journey, and it's a very difficult journey, and when your sinful pride starts to take you off into thinking that your own salvation is in yourself, or when it makes you lazy in your following, you remember that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Jesus leads the way. When you've got different doubts, wondering if God cares about you or even knows who you are, you remember that Jesus led the way into your heart in the first place, and that Jesus now takes that heart and compels that through the power of his gospel to follow him. Jesus leads the way. If you think to yourself, oh no, enemies, obstacles, different things going to get in my way, I don't know how I can stand, I'm going to fall in a world of pain, Jesus leads the way all the way to heaven. He always has, and he always will for you. That's his promise. That's his power. And if you ever forget your purpose in this life and what you're here for and the calling to which you have been called, then you remember that statement that he gave to the disciples that day, because it's the same for you and me. I will make you fishers of men. Jesus leads the way in everything. The path ahead is perilous. Lots of difficulties and struggles, it's true. Sometimes it's even as difficult as walking through your child's room when it isn't cleaned up. It really is. But we know we're just going to be just fine. Because, as all of Scripture reveals, and especially here in Matthew 4, that in everything, Jesus leads the way. Amen. May the truth of God's Word and what Jesus has done for us guard your hearts and minds through faith in Him. Amen. We now ask for spiritual renewal as we sing to God a song called Create in Me. While we aren't able to gather an offering here in church, we thank you for your continued support. You can continue to give online on our website, which you can find the QR code at the end of the document there for the bulletin. You can also continue to mail in your offering to the church. Thank you. We continue with the prayer of the church. As we pray the prayer of the church, which is a responsive prayer on page 10, we ask that you also keep in your minds and hearts as we pray Grace Naves, Don Thorne, Mary Bartelt, who's undergoing shoulder surgery this week, Emily James, and Ron Harrison's father, as well as all of those facing health challenges. We also include a prayer for those celebrating birthdays and anniversaries. We pray. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we praise you for reconciling us to yourself through the sufferings and death of your dear Son. Through him we have confidence to enter into your presence and to bring you our prayers and petitions. Out of the infinite bounty of your goodness, grant us a rich measure of your Spirit. Let the love of Christ fill your church, so that it may flourish in all good works. Help us show love and compassion for all who are in need. Bestow on the nations of the earth the knowledge of your mercy, that they may turn to you, the only God, and find salvation in you. Strengthen our faith so that we unfailingly come to you in prayer for all our bodily needs. Give a special measure of your power to those who are sorrowful or mourning, to those who are in pain or sickness, to those who may be in temptation or peril, that they may receive your blessed aid. And help us patiently endure any chastening and afflictions you permit to come into our lives, knowing that you are using them in love to prepare us for that joyful communion with you, which is ours for all eternity. We praise you for the joy of those celebrating birthdays and anniversaries this week. Renew in them the joy of your gospel, that they may continue to follow you in their lives. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Accept our prayers and intercessions, and provide for all our needs, not because we are worthy, but for the sake of Jesus our Savior.
We pray all these things in His name. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Our next song, Take My Life and Let It Be.
We pray. Blessed Lord, you have given us your holy scriptures for our learning. May we so hear them, read, learn, and take them to heart, that being strengthened and comforted by your holy word, we may cling to the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. We close with a truth that reminds us that God is with us on this journey. Hello, it was a pleasure worshiping with you, even though we weren't able to do so together. Thanks for joining us online. A few announcements for you. We've got Bible study that'll be available online. It should be streaming here in a little bit. It will also be made available later. You can find the document, the handout for that, on our website, on the Staying Connected to God's Word page. You can also find that under the Media Live page. Sunday school materials will be available online. Once again, it's a lesson plan for parents to use with their children at home. You can also find that on our Staying Connected to God's Word page. Ignite Teen Study will be going on via Zoom this morning in a little bit at 10:45 a.m. So if you're watching this live or you're watching it a little bit after that and you would like the link for that, you can find that in the email. You can also email me and I'll send a text and get that going on our teen group group text. We want to welcome our new teacher, Hannah Stegman. She is here in California. She's been here for a little while. She's working hard. She came and worshiped with us last week. So God be praised. God brought her here safely. So continue to keep her in the prayers, especially as we now continue here in the school with some difficult decisions that had to be made this week. Our Board of Child Discipleship has decided that in light of the mandate from the governor or the order, we will have online distance learning to begin the year, but we will return to in-person classes as soon as possible. Another thing that came up this week that resulted in a difficult decision from the BCD, Mrs. Duchesne has decided to retire due to personal circumstances. First of all, I want to thank her for her work of service for all those years in her service to Christ and to St. Mark's. We thank her for that. At the same time, the BCD also then had to make another difficult decision to suspend junior kindergarten for the time being. That will That will continue or will reopen when it is feasible for us to do so. So keep all of us in your prayers with the school and everything. Now, when it comes to the school, if you're a school parent, school registration is coming up on August 6th. So keep a lookout for some email and more information coming later on. A big welcome to our new members. We're going to welcome seven new members into our congregation here at the 9:30 outdoor service. So God be praised that the Holy Spirit is bringing people into our spiritual family still. May God continue to bless you as you remember that He is with you and guiding you and protecting you, promising you by His power and all of it on this journey that we have with Him. Have a good week.